Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today, you'll hear a sermon from Pastor Stan Yee. So without further ado, here he is.
My name is Stan, for those who don't know me, and it's my privilege to serve here as one of the pastors. And yeah, I'm really grateful to be able to share this morning with you and share God's message. So for this morning, you know, I was just reflecting on what to share and where God was leading me. And, you know, I think about a month ago, I shared from Genesis chapter 1. And it was just about God creating everything and really being grounded in that sense of God creating everything, that, you know, he creates order out of chaos and he brings life and goodness. And as I was reflecting on that, you know, just different conversations with different people, I just realized that lived experience of God's generosity and abundance, his life and goodness, sometimes doesn't really resonate with us in actual life. As we live out our days, you know, going to work, spending time with our kids, you know, driving them around, all these other things, even, you know, relationships and things like that. And so because of this gap, I think sometimes we hear things here on Sunday, and we, you know, and sometimes it's uplifting, sometimes it's really encouraging, and we kind of go out. But when we get to Monday and we experience what we normally experience, it just feels things kind of fall a little bit short. And I wanted to acknowledge that. I really do. I really do want to be up here, and I really want to acknowledge that gap that we experience. But I feel like in that gap, there is also an invitation. An invitation that God brings in that gap of our lived experience. And that's what I really want to share with you today. So the invitation is actually from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read that for us. And then, you know, just as you read this, I know this passage is probably very familiar with a lot of us, and you're wondering, where is the invitation in this passage? But, you know, just pray that God would open our hearts to what he's trying to say to us today. I'm going to read that for us, and then I'll pray for our time together. And this is from the NASB version, a translation of the Bible. Now the serpent was more crafty than any animal of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God really said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You will certainly not die, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll become like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight for the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some of it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves waist coverings. Let's pray. Father, we ask at this time that you would meet with us. Lord, these words, Lord, I know are heavy, that your words, even describing the fall of Adam and Eve, can bring up different thoughts and different feelings for us. But Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you have to say. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that you still invite us to be with you. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right. So, I know that, you know, in that passage about the fall, typically what we understand that passage and way it's usually taught is that this is how sin entered our world. And that's true. But what I really want to explore with you this morning of sin is really this understanding that sin is more than just moral failure. You know, sin is more than just moral failure. Because I think today we hear about it in the news, we see about it in our churches, we even unfortunately experience it with a lot of our church leaders. that we see the moral failure and it's like front and center. But I think what really kind of is happening sometimes is we only see it as that. And then in our own lived experience, when we think about sin only in a moral failure standpoint, we miss out at some of what deeper is happening with our lives. And I feel like in a lot of ways that really prevents us from really understanding and even growing in the Lord. And so really fundamentally, I believe sin, and I believe this passage really shows us that sin is more than just that moral failure, but it's about who knows what's best for your life. Who knows what's best? You know, a lot of times when we sin, we feel like, okay, that's the behavior that we have, and then that's it, and that's done. But even before that failure, even before we sin, we decide to choose that what God calls as sin, we decide that we, you know better, and we go ahead and decide to do that action or that behavior. And I think it's really there that I really want to explore. It's like, why are we choosing something that God has said that is sin? So there are really two aspects here that I want to explore with you guys, two aspects of this choice that's before us. Right? When we're tempted, we have a choice. Do we believe what God says is best for our lives, or do we believe what we think is best for our lives? And there are two aspects to this choice. And the first aspect is this. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 1. Sorry, let me get back to that. So really, it's this choice between God's generosity and our experience of scarcity. So let me show that. Let me read verse 1 again. Now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God really said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And I want you to notice here what the serpent is really saying here. He says, "You shall not eat from any tree." Has God really said that? You shall not eat from any tree of the garden. But if you look back in Genesis 2, this is what God actually says. And I'm going to show this comparison between the two. In Genesis chapter 2, God says this. He commands a man saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For on that day you'll eat of it and you'll certainly die." So hopefully you see what's happening here. The very first thing the serpent is questioning of God is that is he really holding out on you? Is he being stingy with you? Right? He's like, he really, in Hebrew, in the original language, it's really interesting. It really, the serpent just adds the word "not." You know, "You shall not eat from any tree." But what God says, any tree of the garden you may freely eat. And just this one tree, don't eat of it. And I feel like that's sort of encapsulates our own experience in life. Again, like going back to this gap, right? Like a lot of times we experience this life and we feel like there's so many things that are so, you know, scarce. I was just even yesterday trying to get gas at Costco and I don't and you know, don't get gas at Costco on a Saturday afternoon. I promise you that is not a good experience. And it's really funny because Faye was with me, my wife, and we were sitting there and I drive in and I knew it was gonna be long because we just needed gas. I sit there and you know, and Schaumburg Costco, sorry calling out Schaumburg Costco, but man, it is a madhouse because literally we're driving in and someone cuts me off, just right up, rolls on, fits in a little teeny space and cuts me off. And I was not in a good place, let me tell you that. It's like, Faye's like, "Hey, isn't your sermon about scarcity and God's generosity?" I was like, "Yes, it is." But I, you know, anyways, and so it's just so interesting that our lived experience so often, more than not, is that this world, the resources of this world, our place in line, all sorts of things are so scarce. And we have to fight. We have to fight for what is our right, our place in line at the Costco gas or something else. But you see here that God's invitation is that you may eat of any tree in the garden, except for this one. And I think we sometimes see the reverse in our lives. You know, and I want to share even just more personally about this, because I feel like in our own lives, we sometimes, it's so difficult to see that, to see God's generosity. You know, I use that, you know, to talk about Costco gas, but I think even deeper than that, you know, just to share with you even more personally, like, yeah, I was single for a long time. And, you know, some of you may know that. You know, and you know, being single for a long time, there is some blessings there. You know, you have a lot of time on your hands and you can do a lot of different things. But I think what was so hard in that period of time of being single was just seeing a lot of my friends getting married and having kids. And I think the real struggle that I was having in that season was that, is God, you know, like, God, why aren't you providing for me? Like, why are so many other people getting to get married and having kids? And why am I not? Is there something wrong with me? Is there something that you're asking and inviting me to? And every time I would pray, God would just kind of gently say, wait. Just wait. And I think in those moments of waiting, it was a real struggle to just really understand that what I felt was being withheld from me was God's way of inviting me deeper with him. And I think really that's the invitation a lot of times when we experience scarcity, when we experience the sense of, is God being stingy with me? That in those moments, God is quietly inviting us to just trust him. And maybe in a different way, he's inviting us to see his generosity. And there's another aspect to this. I think sometimes when we think about this choice between God's generosity and our scarcity, we sometimes think about it maybe in bigger terms, like what I just shared about, you know, my singleness and trying to, this big life decision of finding someone to marry. But really, I think it's also in the moment-by-moment decisions as well. And as I was thinking about that, I just remember for a lot of us, we experienced scarcity at a huge scale during the pandemic, right? During the pandemic. And I feel like for a lot of us too, the pandemic still resonates and still impacts us to this day. But really, it's so interesting as we face scarcity, like even the pandemic, like there is that moment in which we have a choice, right? We have a choice whether or not we believe that God can provide. And I was just thinking about this, like, so for example, let's see here. Sorry, could we, oh, there you go. In the pandemic, well, first of all, does anyone know how much a Clorox wipe goes for today? No? Okay, I don't know. Maybe somebody does. But really, I was looking it up, and Clorox wipes go for $6.69, and this is at Home Depot. And as I was reflecting on this, the moment-by-moment choices, I remember this moment choice where my wife and I, we were trying to, you know, as everyone else during the pandemic, was wanting to, you know, sanitize our groceries and all these other things, right? And so we went out and we went to a store, and I won't name the store because, as you'll see, it's very interesting what they would charge for one of these, a single bottle. I remember going to this place and we asked how much they had supply, and they asked how much would this charge for, and they actually would charge $70. $70 for a single box or single container of Clorox wipes. It was crazy. And I feel like for a lot of us, you know, we've experienced those moments, right? We experience those moments where we're faced with these moments of like, wow, okay, I need right now to go and find every single Clorox container and buy it up so that way I don't have to spend $70 for one. But I think in those moments, God is inviting us back, moment by moment, to trust him. To trust that maybe we won't be able to buy a Clorox wipe, but there are other ways that you could sanitize your groceries. Or there are other ways that he can meet us in our need. And that's really what I want to encourage us this morning. When we experience the gap, when we experience the gap between our lived experience and what we worship and say on Sundays, when we what we read in Scripture, what we learn about of God, we have an invitation to turn to him and to really be honest with God and say, God, this I need this in my life, but right now it doesn't seem possible. Who are you and what do you say in this moment to me? We can be honest before him and ask him, ask God, I worship you in words about your generosity. I worship about your love. I worship about how, you know, you are creator of everything. But right now in this moment, I do not experience that. God, please show me who you are in this moment. Please show me the truth of your words. And that is the invitation that was even extended to Adam and Eve in the garden. So that's the first aspect. We have a choice between God's generosity and our experience of scarcity. The second aspect of choosing is who knows best, is a choice between God's formation or reformation and our plans for a better life. And we see this in verses 4 and 5. And the serpent said to the woman, and this is in verse 4, you certainly will not die, for God knows that on that day, on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and it will become like God, knowing good and evil. And so here, you know, I want us to see that the serpent is really, really subtle, right? I mean, at least, okay, not in the part where he says you certainly not die. I mean, that part is like, okay, that's like exactly opposite of what God says. But really, it's subtle in the sense that what he's really going for here with Eve is that he's not trying to tempt her by saying, you know, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to be like better than Adam, right? He's not tempting her with these kind of more selfish desires. He's actually tempting her, if you can see it at the end of this verse, that she will become like God, knowing good and evil. Right? So the temptation is so subtle in the sense that he's really tempting her with this desire for growth, this desire for a better life. He's tempting her with something that is actually good. And the reason why I say this is if you think about it, and this is what is really tragic about all this, is that Eve was already created in God's image. Here in chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so what's so tragic in all of this is that they were already going to be like God. God's intention for them was to be his images. And yet here, what the serpent does is saying that if you eat of this fruit that God told you not to eat of it, you'll be like God. And really the temptation then of this desire for growth is to take it and do it in your own timing, in my own way. The temptation is God says he will create us like his image, but I don't see it yet. Right? Like, Eve could be like, okay, well, that's great, but I don't see how it's like to be like God. And so the serpent comes along and says, if you take of this, you know, you'll be like God. God isn't really being fully truthful with you. You won't die, and you'll be like him. But that was God's intention all along, was for them to become like him as his images. And I think we struggle with that same temptation today. You know, again, sin is more than just moral failure. You know, it's really this belief and this choice of that God is inviting us to is that do we trust his timing, his reformation of our lives, his formation, his transformation of lives, or do you trust that we know the timing and the way to a better life more than God does? And I think that's just such a subtle distinction sometimes, because all of us want that better life, and that's a good desire to have. But I think what's really hard in the lived experience is whether or not we're willing to wait for God and his timing. You know, and I was just thinking of this, like, what practically does this look like in our lives? What does it mean to choose to wait for God? And I was thinking about, there's many different aspects of our lives that we can think about, but really, in some ways, we can think about whether or not we choose to spend time with God, right? And, you know, it's, as I was thinking about this, it's sometimes just, I feel like a little bit, I don't know if irony is the right word, but a lot of times, you know, when people are preaching or teaching, it always sometimes comes back to, are you spending time with God, and are you reading your Bible, and are you praying, right? And I feel like sometimes that feels a little bit superficial. But the reason I'm exploring that this morning is because I think there is something actually deeper happening when we talk about what it means to spend time with God and how it relates to this choice of whether or not we're choosing God's timing versus choosing our way of a better life. And so what I mean is this. So if we think about it, whether or not we choose to spend time with God, we are, a lot of times, if we choose not to spend time with God, we're choosing something else to do. And that something else that we choose to do usually provides some type of value for our lives. And when we value that thing, right, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty about whether or not you're spending a lot of time or not, but just think about it from more of a, like a higher level, a deeper kind of view. When we choose not to spend time with God, whatever we choose to spend time with, we value more than God. But it's even deeper than that, because whatever that thing that we value, we feel will actually better our lives, will lead us to a better life. And so let me just bring this down to a little bit more personal again. And, you know, I apologize. I think this whole sermon, I'm just sharing all these personal stories of what I'm struggling with. And I don't mean to. I just want to be able to, for you guys to understand more deeply what these things look like. But even my own personal life, I would say lately, you know, again, this is just, you know, some of a confession. But, yeah, hopefully this doesn't stumble you guys. But I've been spending a lot more time watching YouTube. And, you know, it's funny, I even have these conversations with my wife. She's like, oh, you're watching YouTube again, huh? You know, it's like, yeah, you know, you can learn a lot of good stuff on YouTube, and there's a lot of things I try to justify it with, but, you know, but the reason I share about YouTube is that really what I value, and the reason why I'm spending and deciding to spend time on YouTube versus spending time with God, is because YouTube provides me a way of value. It can help me distract myself from the stress in my life. And, you know, I was talking with a brother just before the service, and, you know, I think he came up to me. I really appreciated that he came up and was just talking with me. He's like, hey, man, I know that there's a lot of these things that are you looked kind of stressed, and there's a lot of things that are happening with our church that feel like that is adding stress to my life. And I was like, yeah, I appreciate that you came up to me and that he said that, you know, he's wanting to know that he sees that and stuff. And I felt very seen. And I thank you for that, brother. But yeah, but there is a lot of stress in my life. And I think, unfortunately, the best way that I can think of a lot of times to get away from that stress is by watching YouTube. And in fact, really, if you think about it, and I spend a lot of time reflecting on this because I'm like, man, I am wasting a lot of time on YouTube. is that really ultimately what I'm looking for is a better life, is a stress-free life. I am looking for a stress-free life. And so therefore, the best way that I can think of in the timing that I want to is by going to YouTube. So very easy. You go, you open your laptop, you click on the link, or you type in YouTube, and boom. My stress-free life is right there in this video, watching dogs and cats or whatever you guys. Yeah, cat dog videos are really cute. But like, there are a lot of dog videos out there. Not a sponsor, sorry. Yes. But it's just so interesting as we reflect on these verses, right? The invitation that the serpent gives to the woman is that she will be like God. But that invitation was already given to her by God as he created her in his image. But the temptation is, will we be able to trust God in his timing and in his ways? Or will we trust in our own timing and our own ways to get the better life that we think we need? And the crazy thing in all of this is that I feel like in this desire for our better lives, or in my case, a desire for a stress-free life, like there is this sense of that God is inviting me to even reflect on why do I even feel stressed? And I think that ultimately is why God is asking us to trust him. Because sure, like I could watch YouTube and I could watch, you know, I'll say a couple hours. I was going to say an hour, but all right, I'll just share what really happens. Oh man, only for you, God, only for you. But you know, a couple hours, and then the stress that is in my life is still there. It's still there. I come back, and the really unfortunate thing is, I'm even more stressed out because some of the things I'm like, oh, I don't want to deal with this, is still there, and now it's like more urgent, or it feels like it's more, something needs to be done. But the invitation that God gives us, if we are to trust in him, is this sort of revealing of why am I being stressed out in the first place? And ultimately, the deeper thing that I think he's been showing me little by little is that I feel so responsible for things that I shouldn't be. And I know this could look very different from all of us, and I'm not saying that this has to be your case, but I wanted to illustrate this aspect that if we are willing to wait for God and to trust him, that he will show us why we're feeling the way that we're feeling, why we have this lived experience. And ultimately, I truly believe this, that as he reveals these things to us, his invitation for us is to trust that he can be the one to change us, ultimately. And that's the hard part, because I can stand up here and I can say that we have to read our Bibles more, we have to pray more, or these kind of things. And those are good things, again, those are really good things. But the ultimate thing that needs to change is not our behavior, but how we see the world, how we see our relationship with God. Like for me, God needs to change my heart so that I don't feel so responsible for things that I have no control over. That's what needs to change. And that change is not something that's going to happen tomorrow night. That's not something that's going to even happen next week. That change takes decades, even a lifetime. But slowly and surely, if we are to trust God, moment by moment, he will change us. He will. And when he does change us, then scripture and prayer and these things come more alive, because it's not about doing those things. It's about being with God. It's about being with him. And I think the reason I wanted to share this with us this morning is, you know, and it feels a little bit disjointed because, you know, I am so thankful that with the NEU trip and just missions and God working in that and on that team and through that team, and these things in the RISE conference and these things. And I feel that this is such a, you know, heavy topic to talk to you guys about sin and about how we see the world. But I feel such a strong conviction to share this with you this morning, because I want us to understand that the reason why we go to missions, the reason why we go to these conferences, the reason why we come here on Sundays is ultimately to open ourselves up to the work that God is doing in our lives. It's not about making sure that we made it on Sunday and that that is somehow, like, just by being here on Sunday is a mark of us being a good Christian. Like, I really feel that God is asking us, is inviting us, is trying to show us that what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, is to really be with God. And out of that flows everything else. I feel like that is so important to share with you this morning, because I feel that more often than not, as we go about our Christian lives, as we even go out in our workplaces and live the lived experiences that we have, I don't want church to just be, or even our relationship with God, just to be another thing in our lives that we have to juggle. Because I feel that it's so easy to fall into that trap. I've fallen into that trap. I fall into that trap. Not even fallen, I fall into that trap. And each day, each moment, we have an opportunity to say, no, we don't have to give in to that temptation. That God invites us to shift, to change, to transform our view of our lives. That it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be that we're scrambling constantly to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. That what God is inviting us to is a place that we can truly experience just a taste of what it means to be at peace. A taste of what it means to have right relationships with people. A place where we can actually feel loved and seen when sometimes we don't feel that at all, even by our own spouses. That is the invitation that God gives us, moment by moment. So I just want to close our time together and just spend a little bit of time in reflection. I don't know if I just want to invite the praise team, or at least Hannah, to come up and play some music in the background, but I just want to spend some time in reflection on what we believe is the better life. Is it retiring at 40 or 50? Is it getting married? Is it having kids? Again, many of these things are good things. But are we pursuing these good things on our own timing? Are we pursuing them apart from God? And do we see the world as one where resources are limited and scarce, where we have to fight constantly, each day, each moment, to secure the resources that we think we need? And the one with the most resources wins, right? Or is God inviting us to see his world in a different way? Is he inviting us to see that what we are pursuing doesn't have to be only our own pursuit in our own timing, in our own ways, but that we can pursue what he has called us to be? So let's spend some time reflecting on those questions and what God is speaking to us this morning. And after just a couple of minutes, I'll close us in prayer. Father, we come before you and we just acknowledge that in so many ways it is so hard for us to see what you see. It is so hard for us to see the world in a different way. Lord, we confess that there are so many decisions and choices that we face each and every day that we feel is impossible to do in a way that you've called us to do. But Lord, I ask that as we face those choices, as we face those moments, Lord, grant us your presence. Remind us again of who you are and that we can trust you. And even in those moments where things feel so difficult or impossible, help us to trust that you are a God who is able to do the impossible. And Lord, I pray that this would be the first of many moments, that this would be a way to turn to you, and that you would invite us again and again to that place at your feet. Lord, we know that that is the place where true life waits for us. So Lord, help us to let go of what we see and turn and trust in what you see. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.